Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
1 hour left in the Paul Gallant most interactive sports talk show in Houston era. That's it. Once this hour's done.
It's giving solo era.
Yeah. Pour one out.
Talk like someone on TikTok.
It is giving. That's for sure. It's giving a lot. But I'm not going anywhere. Just things are changing up a little bit. I am going to Mexico. So assuming, again, a lot of potential changes are entirely dependent on whether or not I die in Mexico the next couple of days. And I got to say, we might need to put together something. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. What's likely to happen to Paul in Mexico? Kidnapped by the cartel? Becomes friends with El Chapo and builds a tunnel? Oh, wait, is he in the United States now?
His wife's running stuff, if I...
Marry his wife?
If I'm late, up to date on the El Chapo news?
What if I come back and I'm running things? What if I come back?
You're not the stepdad to El Chapo's children. You're the dad who stepped up.
Listen, we would be a fearsome radio station in this city if I came back a mob boss. We would be fearsome. Now I would do just like every dumb Italian mob movie where like everyone who ends up getting got does something just completely idiotic that like involves like having an IQ of like in the threes. There's a very good chance that like that would be what does me in, like just something really dumb. But will I get kidnapped by the mob? Will I join the mob? I don't know. Bring a paramilitary back? I don't know. Seems like it's pretty easy to do that these days at the border, but hey, that's not me.
If I'm doing mob boss draft comparisons for you, it's going to be hard to overlook the Santino Corleone. Santino Corleone.
Yeah, because I say something really dumb.
Yeah, and you fly off the handle, and you're like, you know what? Let's show them what we mean. And
yeah,
then you go to a toll booth and.
I'll do what I did before the show this morning. And Sean was like, hey, did you send that audio? And I was like, I forgot. And I just threw my phone at the wall. The two interns are looking at me like, oh, Jesus. We work with a disturbed person.
That was my first thought. I was like, I wonder what these interns are thinking.
You know what? They got to know. Kids, you're in the real world now. And you're working with a completely unhinged person.
Yeah. And that was like...
He's not on medication.
A 7 out of 10, maybe an 8
out of 10.
Oh,
that wasn't a 7. That was a 4. Come on. I've done.
Yeah, because you didn't like... It didn't lead to like a full meltdown.
No, I didn't go on a rant. Been on a lot of rants recently, but yeah. Did not...
Maybe, yeah.
Did
maybe
not like go on a rant.
Yeah, 4 or 5.
Yeah, because then I actually like very calmly yourself. Transitioned into saying like, I don't have the audio, Sean.
You didn't do that.
It was so calm. Well, that's just your recollection of it. And
no, you calmly but very sternly said that something about OneDrive you can't access from your phone.
From my computer. That's right.
Yeah.
You can't. This piece of crap right here in front of me.
Don't throw that, please.
Honestly, I should.
Throw it in another 50 minutes, please.
This Surface Pro would survive me throwing it at a wall somehow, some way. But like
that's
a
why
good,
you still have it.
A good computer. I know. I actually have dropped it walking into the studio multiple times. Anyway, guys, it is the Paul Gallant Show. And the Houston Astros, they're not in Mexico. They're getting ready for a season that's going to lead to a World Series title, number 3, and then a trip to Mexico. That's 8 months away for them. It's time to continue our countdown, though, to the start of the Astros regular season. Give me that bone!
It's always Astros time in Houston. Are you ready to play?
A lot of people were wondering what it was going to be like if the Astros didn't win the division. I guess we'll never know.
We're counting you down to the Astros season opener against the New York Yankees March 28th.
All right. 37 days away. Still feels too long. Shane Reynolds was a Houston Astro from 1993 to 2002. When he first broke into the majors, he wore number 38. He was 103-86 with a 3.95 ERA and 1,309 strikeouts in 274 games with the Astros. That's a lot of strikeouts. Good for Shane Reynolds. Kyle Tucker is one of the two contracts that the Houston Astros are going to have to figure out in the near future. Alex Bregman at the end of the year, but Framber Valdez and Kyle Tucker are the two contracts that they still have some time to work with. Tucker was asked yesterday about the latest with his contract. Here he is with video courtesy of Brian McTaggart of MLB.com.
Maybe a little talk, but not like, like a hard offer or anything like that. But I mean, like I've always said, just, we're always open to have those conversations, whether it happens now or a little later, whatever it may be. But I mean, I'm always around here. I'm always open to having those conversations and just talk it through. Yeah. I mean, obviously I'd rather not prolong it forever, but, it kind of just depends. Just having those conversations, work it out and, see what's best for me and the team and everything. So you just got to kind of take everything into account and just kind of see where it goes. But, I enjoy my time here. It's been great. I'm looking forward to the season. Looking forward to going on a World Series run. So that's what we're here to do. I mean, my focus is here with this team. So I'm trying to win a World Series with the Astros, another one, and, hopefully another one.
Hell yeah.
My focus is on this team and this group of guys in this clubhouse and this team and this organization, not really any other team at this time.
Born winner. Ask him about the contract. I got nothing new for you. I'm focused on winning another World Series here. And then another World Series after that.
What's his favorite World Series?
The next one.
The one after the next one.
That's even more hardo than Tom Brady. So that was cool to hear from Kyle Tucker. As far as other updates from spring training in West Palm Beach, Josh Hader got his first work of the year. Bullpen session, 30 pitches against Alex Bregman, Jeromy Pena, and John Singleton. We also noticed that Jeromy Pena got a new stance yesterday. Jeromy Pena looking different at the plate. Here's what he had to say about his new stance. Quote, I feel like I'm a little more consistent at putting the barrel on the ball. And when I do put the barrel on the balls, I have true spin. It's not slicing or topping. And that's what you want as a hitter. You want true spin. That sounds like something that you could also hear somebody say in the Fast and Furious movie franchise.
I was just thinking that. I was like, ask any hitter, any real hitter. Doesn't matter if you slice or you're topping. What you want is true spin.
Hey, Jeremy, what do you have to say about your playoffs in 2022? Forget about it, cuh. I saw that and I was like, that sounds right, but I don't know. I have no idea what he's talking about there. You want more spin Forget on the ball? Yeah. You're putting spin on the ball when you hit it with a bat?
Yeah.
All right. Spin. Interesting. I guess, yeah, if you hit like a ping pong ball, the ping pong paddle, you can put a little spin on it.
Yeah, and it comes at you with spin.
Tennis racket, you can do that too. Yeah, it's weird. For whatever reason, I think it's a lot easier to do that with a paddle than it is with a bat.
I mean, it's a bigger surface, so it's a little bit easier.
Yeah, that's true.
So I
we are not experts when it comes to physics here, but
no.
Spin.
No.
That's
no,
what
no.
Jeromy Pena.
True spin.
He likes spinners today when he hits them. No. No.
I mean, I didn't say anything about topping either. All right.
Speaking of topping, Joe Espada says the top players for what? You said top. I don't even know what that means, Sean. I'm just a naive boy. Per Joe Espada, the primary players will all play from the get-go in spring training. So, no more of this rest day BS. You know what? What if the Astros actually have all their starters play like 150 games? Are they going to be gassed by the postseason, and then are we going to start bitching about Joe Espada like we were bitching about Dusty Baker because he gives so many guys so many off days? That does sound like the first sign of, hey, everyone's going to play a lot, and then wait until someone gets injured. And the effing armchair managers that are in this town that think they know way more about baseball than they actually do. I at least admit that I don't know that much about it. I can't wait for Joe Espada to get second guessed. And listen, then when that happens, I will stand with Joe Espada. I will stand with Joe Espada. I will stand with the decision-making of the Astros if too many people start going, what's going on here? They're playing too many games. Because I, as I said yesterday, talking about the All-Star game and how terrible it was, I think that we've gotten to a really bad place in sports when it comes to the idea of playing in every single game. It is, in 2024, outside of football, and even in football, it's starting to not become a thing that you necessarily want to happen every single week. If your team sucks, you want your team to tank and not play its best players. If your team's good, you're hoping that they rest their players for the last couple of weeks of the regular season.
Or if they're up big at the end of the game.
That too, right, Sean? There's a lot of people out there that are like, well, you got to rest them because they might get hurt. Yeah, they also might not get hurt. They might just play the game that they're supposed to, where injuries don't happen all that often, you know?
Again, but you did knock it, you know, you kind of knocked the head of the nail when you said it's like they might be tired for the postseason. For a team like the Astros, it's like all that matters. It's like how far you go in the playoffs.
That is all that matters.
So there is a little bit of like, I understand that there needs to be rest days. The problem with the Dusty Baker ones is that they would come after they would hit like two home runs in a game.
That's that part.
Or
fair criticism.
Or it would be like you're the four best hitters all the same day. You're like, okay, so today's a loss. Like, thanks. We have Greg Kessinger hitting second.
It did seem like at times they were spinning a wheel.
Yes.
And a very strange wheel with Martin Maldonado versus Yainer Diaz.
I just can't wait until the first controversy, whatever it is that Joe Espada has to deal with. Like, whatever game in April where he seemingly mismanages the bullpen or brings in a pinch hitter or something. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the big leagues, Joe Espada. The first time Astros Twitter is having a meltdown in the first 25 games of the season.
Sean, do we have time for this caller?
Yeah, we can do it quick.
Billy has an opinion on Nike jerseys. They are not good. The new baseball uniforms, for those who don't know, a collaboration with Fanatics. Billy, what you got?
Yeah, I heard the customers don't like them. The players don't like them either. Fanatics has single-handedly ruined sports merchandise, and the Nike jerseys are garbage. I'd rather bring back the majestic one. I
appreciate that thought, Billy. Yeah, they've done a horrible job with them. I've taken a look at them. They're essentially just printing and pressing numbers on jerseys these days. There's no stitching. It is amateur hour, Mickey Mouse stuff. And I would encourage you, if you have the ability to do so, if you're looking for a new jersey, I would be looking at stores nearby to see if I can find clearance deals on specific jerseys, because I'm sure Nike is instructing a lot of these teams to get rid of as much merchandise as they possibly can. So you might end up seeing it at like Academy Sports and stuff. But the Astros team store this year, I am very curious as to the quality of the stuff that's in there. It's going to be expensive. And this stuff that they're putting out there, it isn't just that the quality is poor. It doesn't look good either.
Yeah, and what's crazy is that like last year was fine. Last year was fine. Then Fanatics and Nike went wrong is that they gave the crappy stuff to the players.
Yes.
If you just gave the players all the good stuff and us all the crappy stuff,
no one would notice.
Or we would notice, but no one would stop buying jerseys because of it.
Like, Lone Ranger comments that the Today Show started talking about how bad the jerseys are. I mean, that's pretty bad.
Again, because they pissed off the players with it. They made the players wear this carpet.
Baseball's run so horribly. It really is. Like, it's a good thing the Astros are good. I mean, if they weren't good, this show would not talk about them. It would not talk about baseball either. That sport is just, it's just not what it used to be. And I got to say with Fanatics, like, the monopoly that they have over sports memorabilia is depressing. Because there's some really good companies out there. I'm wearing a shirt from Homage right now. It's so soft. It's so comfortable. Look how sick this is. This is a University of Houston Cougars shirt. I know Home Field Apparel has some good ones as well. But when it comes to getting stuff that's officially licensed professional sport things, it's really difficult to get good-looking shirts. And I'm a t-shirt snob. Like, you know, if I'm wearing a sports t-shirt, in some way, shape, or form, I think it is good. Fanatics has just half-assed it. The quality has gone down, and now the price, thanks to inflation, is going up. So it's making it even worse. Anyway, Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're going to continue taking a look at Astros spring training because, guys, they're finally doing what I was pushing for all year. At least one player is. I can't believe it took them this long. What am I talking about? You'll find out next. It's the Paul Galancho. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Please keep hands and feet in the ride at all times.
Clear.
Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios and your favorite 10 to noon sports talk host, Paul Gallant. Give him hell, Paulie.
It's really funny seeing the comments section on our YouTube channel, our Twitch. Some people are suggesting places that you could buy knockoff jerseys. Who would have thought that buying a jersey from China is actually the better option than buying the official ones that are made by baseball, Nike, and Fanatics?
Because now those are higher quality. And they're like actual good quality.
Yeah.
Like they're not just higher quality than the crap that is getting put out. You are rolling dice sometimes, but when it hits, like, you get actually like really well made jerseys.
You do have to, and you should do this anyway. For those who don't know, you should, if you have jerseys or you have sports memorabilia alike, you should put it on. You should put it inside out, put it on cold wash, and do delicate on your wash recycle is, and then hang dry.
Yes.
Hang dry everything. It is the key to longevity with stuff like that. But with China, you could buy, I bought like a Larry Bird Dream Team jersey from China for like $40. It lasted a while, but it does die quickly. And yet, these Fanatics jerseys are so bad that you're like, you know what? This might not last as long as a thing that I would buy from China with no possibility of returning it.
It's also the difference between spending $40 on something and like $190 on something. So if you don't have a long shelf life, at least buy the $40 one that doesn't have a long shelf life.
Is the biggest issue in our country, Sean, that baseball jerseys are better made by communists? Is this like the biggest problem facing our country? And I know like the border and like wars, but like the commies are building.
Yeah.
And I say building with a purpose. They're building better baseball jerseys than us. I will say, though, at least, you know, let's dial it back with the people getting mad about the big patches on these jerseys. I like the Oxy logo.
Yeah.
It's not big enough. I think they should actually make the Oxy logo on the front of the Astros jersey and then the Astros writing or Houston writing, put it on the sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Let's go soccer.
Let's go full Premier League, right?
I'm just glad that OxyContin's finally getting its shine in the world.
I used to think that that's what Oxy was for the longest time. I had a couple of friends that worked there, and I've even spoken with them before, and I just never asked any further because I'm an idiot. And I'm just like, oh, so you guys are the reason for the opiate crisis, huh? You're just out there in the open with it.
Taking blood money, huh, Craig?
It's like, sir, we're a different kind of blood money. We're oil. We're oil. All right, guys, continuing. The Paul Gallant Show here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I said that a Houston Astro is doing something that I was calling for all last year. And Sean can confirm this. Jose Abreu is doing Pilates. With all the effing oblique injuries that the Astros had last year, he should not be the only one. And as someone who, on my phone, I could pull up on my Instagram, friends of mine, acquaintances of mine, I could probably pull up, I bleep you not, 15 different Pilates instructors who would actually respond to me if I sent them a DM. These aren't just ones that I'm maybe creeping on or something like that because I want to slide in. No, these are people that would actually respond to me. We have more Pilates instructors than we know what to do with. You know, that could save the economy. And the Houston Astros need more Pilates instructors. I don't know what's going on with their training staff. I'm not a doctor. You know, like I'm not going to tell them how to do their job. But with the sheer amount of oblique injuries that the Astros dealt with, you know what helps work your obliques as someone who has done Pilates twice in his life? Pilates. Pilates are great. And good for Jose Abreu doing something to strengthen his core, which will hopefully strengthen his back, which will hopefully keep him playing as well as he possibly can and as well as he did in the postseason next year. Pilates, the key to the Astros' success in 2024? Some are saying yes.
We need to get some of these Pilates instructors a sewing machine, make some jerseys.
I know, right?
Convert them.
That's a little sexist, Sean.
No, I didn't know these Pilates instructors were women.
Are there any men?
You said you weren't creeping on them.
Well, that is true.
You said they were friends and acquaintances. You didn't say anything that these were women.
Well, also, some people might assume that if they were men, that's what I would be creeping on them, sliding in the DMs.
You didn't say DMs, by the way. You said I'm trying to slide in. And then you
DMs.
DMs. Okay.
Come on. I respect everybody. As everybody knows, you know? King of all Twitches says Pilates is for chicks. You should do it sometime. Be the one guy at Pilates. They'll be asking questions about you. Oh, hey, who are you? What are you all about? Seriously happened once. I'm not kidding. It wasn't exactly a conversation I wanted to continue, but it happened. It happened. What? Why are you laughing so hard?
I don't. I'm just picturing you doing like a plank or something as people are asking you these questions.
It was afterwards. Everyone was like, oh. Whoa.
And you're like, I don't want to continue this conversation because your forearms are shaking.
Well, no, they were asking, like, oh, wow. Like, so how do your inner thighs feel, huh?
Oh, my God.
What?
They did not ask you that.
They did.
This was not the start of a.
I swear to God.
Internet video.
That's not what it sounds like it was about to turn into. No, if you've ever done Pilates before, okay, women have crazy strong inner leg muscles. And some of the things that they can do, you just are completely effed compared to them trying to do it. And they like to know that they are stronger than you somewhere. So, you know, they see me like, pretty in shape guy. And they're like, oh, yeah, well, your inner leg muscles. Like, it was kind of like a talking down to, you know? Like, clearly you haven't been here that much. And I haven't. I've done Pilates twice. Both times I've done Pilates, it's been with a Pilates instructor that I may have been interested in. And one time I did yoga on a date, and I spent the whole time staring at the person I was on the date with. And I gotta say, fun time. But the actual yoga part, that sucked. All of that sucked.
I was gonna ask, is it just yoga? Is Pilates yoga?
No, it's different.
Okay.
So Pilates, you got this like thing. It's like a machine, and it like slides back and forth, and there's bands on it and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Right. And yoga, you're just on a mat.
Yeah,
and,
you're. It's more like whatever body weight stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. Both terrible on my crappy knees. Absolutely horrible. If I had to pick one or the other, Pilates over yoga every single time. Yoga, it's you always end up, and by always, the one time I went, you end up with a soft-spoken person at the front who was just saying a bunch of things, and I was like, what are you talking about? And that this person had a little bit of an accent, nothing against people with accents, but this person had a little bit of an accent and was like, down with a dog? And like I'm like, what? What? A turtle? And I'm like, what? What are you? Huh? What? And then everybody around, like, they know exactly what's going on. And I'm like, I don't know. I just want to stare at the person in front of me.
Yeah. Anyway, good for Jose Abreu.
Good for Jose Abreu.
For doing Pilates.
Good for him. Oh, boy. Man, I didn't think that would burn up as much time as it did. What else do we have? Lance McCullers and Luis Garcia not doing Pilates, but they had a catch on the field a couple days ago.
That's good.
So funny when it's, wait, so can you throw off the mound? No, but they had a catch. But if they had a catch, like, how serious of a catch was it? Was it 75%? Was it 50%?
Yeah.
Was it just lobs? Was it hot potato? I need more specifics, person who reported this. It is the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Coming up next, the Houston Texans are reportedly thinking about doing something that I don't think would be smart. I'll tell you what that is next. First, let me tell you about my friends at mybookie.ag. Yes, we all love betting on sports. Hopefully you took the Cougs in last night's game against Iowa State. But some of us like to play games to chance. Shuffling cards, balls rolling on a roulette wheel, a slot machine. You can have all of the sounds and activities of a casino in your home, on the couch, in your home office, on the patio, without pants, thanks to my friends at mybookie.ag. They've got all sorts of online computer games, slots, table games, Texas Hold'em, and a lot more. You got blackjack with real dealers, also for the poker as well. It is an awesome next level online live casino. So go to mybookie.ag to get started. Your first deposit, you get a bonus if you use that promo code BET975. Turn your home into your casino with mybookie.ag. Use promo code BET975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with mybookie.ag.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hey, what happened?
And every time something would go wrong, I would look at the camera and say, hey, what happened?
Welcome back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's your host, former Shorecrest Preparatory All-District Safety, Paul Gallant.
Only 30 more minutes of the most interactive sports talk show in Houston in its current form. Who's going to announce the changes? Not me. I'm going to Mexico. Now, I'm told that John and Lance discussed a person that came with me to the Super Bowl party that we had at Warehouse Live on Sunday. And, you know, it was the Sunday before this past Sunday. It was a great time. I had a blast. Me and this person had a blast for a while, but things got a little dramatic afterwards. I'm going to keep things between us, although I guess vented behind closed doors to the point where it made its way to the radio side of things. We have someone calling in. I don't know if this is real. We'll see, because this person does listen to the show occasionally. Is this my date from Sunday that maybe wasn't a date? What's going on here?
I can't believe it's your last show, Paul. Oh my God. I mean, I feel amazing right now, but I'm like, I'm also sad, but like, I'm like, I can't believe it's your last show. So I just have one question.
What's that?
Do you have any water? Do you have any water?
I don't have any water. I think you got to stop driving, person. Yeah. I theoretically know X, because that wouldn't be good.
Do you have any gum?
I don't have any gum. I don't.
I love you guys so much.
I don't have anything for you. Okay, yeah, I don't want you in my life anymore. Can you please get out of my life? Thank you. Okay, you're mean to me. Okay, it was unnecessary when you got mad at me for no reason. Very unnecessary. God forbid we have a conversation or hang out like adults, you know? God forbid. Anyway, we appreciate the that person contributing to the show. Because, you know, we want the last hour of this to be just an absolute train wreck, to remind people of all the good times, of all the times where I wasn't about to go Cabo on three. One, two, three, Cabo! All right, guys. There's something that the Houston Texans are supposedly doing in free agency that I'm not thrilled about. This is a report from Jeremy Fowler of ESPN, ESPN.com. Fowler writes this. If the Texans are one player away on offense, maybe they should make it an exciting tailback option, such as Saquon Barkley or Derrick Henry. There's buzz league-wide that Houston could try to improve at running back to help second-year quarterback C.J. Stroud. Most of a quality starting offensive line is under contract for multiple years. Several key players are pending free agents, including pass rusher Jonathan Greenard, tight end Dalton Schultz, corner Steven Nelson, defensive tackle Sheldon Rankins, and linebacker Blake Cashman. Houston likely can't keep all four, but should prioritize a few. If Greenard leaves, Houston needs to backfill an edge rusher who has upside opposite Will Anderson Jr. So these are all of the many things that the Houston Texans could potentially do. I want to focus on one thing. The first two sentences in this report. If Houston is one player away on offense, again, wrote Fowler, make it an exciting tailback option such as Saquon Barkley or Derrick Henry. There's buzz league-wide that Houston could try to improve at running back to help second-year quarterback C.J. Stroud. So here's where I get a little bit concerned. It is clear to me that the offense that the Houston Texans run is not compatible with every single running back. It's not. Damian Pierce was really good in 2022. He sucked in that offense last year. Is that Pierce's fault? Is it the interior offensive line's fault? I don't know. I think Pierce is more talented than Devin Singletary. Singletary, by the way, also a free agent, did pretty well in certain games for the Houston Texans as their lead running back. There were other games where he didn't do all that much. I think Singletary's a good player. I think Singletary's a good guy to have as your second running back. Am I going to go so far, though, in saying that, okay, Pierce isn't a scheme fit, Singletary's probably better as a number two running back, that the Texans should sign a Saquon Barkley or a Derrick Henry? I'm not going that far. I'm just not. You're going to have to spend money that could be spent on the defensive side of things, that could be spent on the interior offensive line if you sign a running back. And I don't like that I now am one of the people that believes that running backs are findable. I won't say that running backs don't matter like a lot of the analytics folks will. I think there are some guys who are truly difference makers, but they get hurt and you often find yourself having to replace them. Is a running back like a Saquon Barkley or a Derrick Henry, Barkley, a guy who's been injured a couple of times, Henry, a guy who is getting up there in age, who takes a lot of time to get moving forward. Are those two guys going to be the difference for the Texans team that we saw this past year? It would help if they could run the football more effectively, but I just don't know that the issues with the offensive line had to do with the running backs on the Texans. Maybe in the case of Pierce, yes. As much as it had to do with interior offensive line that wasn't good. And to go back to what we talked about a little bit earlier when talking about the Texans in free agency, you saw Titus Howard change his Twitter profile to read right tackle only. If he is a right tackle only and the Texans are looking at that, interior offensive line is what they should be addressing. And signing a running back to a short-term deal is not going to give you a whole lot of flexibility to sign someone that could be an impact player there, to potentially sign an impact defensive player that is not on the Texans already, and to re-sign Jonathan Greenard. It just makes it a little bit more difficult. So there you go. But sounds like, from the sound of things, as I said that twice, that was a little repetitive, that the Texans are at the very least thinking about signing a running back to help out C.J. Stroud. So there you go. There you go. It is the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. While we're talking about the sports, back on topic, I'm going to shift a little bit here. I have a question for you guys. Who is more real between these two people? Mike Trout is back with the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. I think they're still called that. and was asked about his future in L.A. now that Shohei Ohtani has gone cross town to the L.A. Dodgers. He is on a team that does not appear to be competing anytime soon. He was asked about perhaps trying to go and play for a contender at some point in his career. Here's what he told The Athletic. Quote, "I think the easy way out is to ask for a trade. There might be a time, maybe. I really haven't thought about this. When I sign that contract, I'm loyal. I want to win a championship here. The overall picture of winning a championship or getting to the playoffs is the bigger satisfaction than bailing out or taking the easy way out. I think that's been my mindset. Maybe down the road, if some things change," Trout said, "that it could change." So he says all of those things. He has a massive contract with the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. It does feel like he is just eternally effed sticking in L.A. Do you read those comments and say, "Yeah, he's a real one. He's a real one for sticking it out with this terrible team"? I feel like in saying that he will stick it out with this terrible team, I kind of actually am okay with him potentially, you know, forcing his way out of town. The sort of the same way that Damian Lillard finally did this offseason, leaving the Portland Trailblazers after saying he was never going to leave because he wanted to do it the hard way to go team up with Giannis Antetokounmpo in Milwaukee. There's a part of me that feels like, okay, well, this makes it a little bit cooler if he were to leave. You know, it's not like he's abandoning everybody. But also there's a part of me that thinks he's full of it. Like, really? You want to stay here? You don't want to ask out?
It just makes you question, like, what do you know? Do you know how this thing works? Like, he
it doesn't feel like it, Sean.
Because there's also reporting that he was pushing Angels ownership to, like, sign one of the remaining free agents that are still out there. It's like, wait, you've been on the Angels, right? You know how that goes.
Right.
So, also, whoever you sign is not going to replace Shohei Ohtani.
Nope. He is literally one of the best hitters and pitchers in baseball. So, you lost two guys at once.
It does feel like, it just always feels like the right thing to do is to be like, I'm loyal. Whenever anyone asks you a question, just say, you know, I'm loyal.
But I don't, so I don't want him to be loyal here, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But the right thing to say is, I'm loyal. I'm never leaving.
But what if you're loyal to Bozos? I mean,
at least you're loyal.
I guess.
You're not a snake.
Well, I mean, there are a lot of loyal, there's been a lot of loyal people in history.
Yeah.
Do you think that they have regrets about the loyalty?
Hey, the captain of the Titanic was loyal to that ship.
Well,
he stayed on that thing.
Guess what? He's dead.
Oh.
He would have died of old age.
But he
by
was
now.
Loyal. Unlike that bad man, Billy Zane.
Billy Zane survived.
Picking up
toupee and all.
Picking up a kid just to get on.
Honestly,
a life.
Honestly, yeah, it's survival instincts, man. That guy's a natural born survivor.
Yeah.
Mike Trout. Okay, cool. He's willing to go down with the ship. Is he more of a real one than Anthony Rendon? Anthony Rendon went viral a little bit earlier this offseason because he said this very accurate thing about baseball's regular season.
If you could change one thing about Major League Baseball, if I gave you that power, what would you do?
I'm going to say something very lighthearted so I don't get in trouble when I get
yes.
to spring training. So I'm going to give you all an Anthony Rendon answer.
The first of the day, hopefully.
Yeah. We got to shorten the season, man. It's too many dang games. 162 games in 185, 3 days, whatever it is. Man. No. We got to shorten this bad boy up. Let's go.
A lot of people are going to get mad at him for that. That's what I'm taking the deep breath at. But everything he said there is right. There's too many baseball games. And he was asked about his status with the Angels and his thoughts about baseball this morning. Or excuse me, yesterday morning. Here's what he had to say. This is just a fun Q&A. "Last year you'd said you'd consider retiring. What's your mindset now? My enthusiasm has been the same since I got drafted, to be honest with you. I'm going back and deleting old emails, and I emailed myself a pros and cons of why I wanted to stay in the game in 2014. My thought process of the game has not changed since then. The questioning continued. How does your pro and con list compare to 10 years ago? It's different. I'm married. I have 4 kids. My priorities have changed since my early 20s, so my perspective on baseball has been more skewed. Another question. Is it still a top priority for you? It's never been a top priority for me, says Rendon. This is a job. I do this to make a living. My faith, my family come first before this job. So if those things come before it, I'm leaving. The follow-up question, is it a priority? Oh, it's a priority for sure because it's my job. I'm here, aren't I? Next question. Do you want to be here? I don't want to talk to you guys at 7 in the morning or whatever time it is. Do you want to be here playing baseball for the Angels? I have answered your question. So why do you keep picking at it? This might have been a case of where keeping it real goes wrong. And here's the thing. What he said for anyone with a family, that is true. I would imagine. It's not the case for everybody. Some people prioritize their career over their family. Or some people, in the pursuit of providing for their family and believing that they are providing for their family, make the career more of a priority because the career provides for the family. I'm not judging anybody. It's one of the reasons I don't have a family because I don't exactly feel like I'm going to be able to support kids and a wife, you know, the old radio salary. But I feel like Rendon's more real here and more people are going to respect Trout. But I respect Rendon here because Rendon doesn't care. He is getting annoyed by those follow-up questions afterwards. Imagine following up with somebody who said, like, yeah, this is not my biggest priority. My faith and my family are my two biggest priorities. That's what it probably should be. There's a lot of people that take their jobs a little too seriously. It's one of the reasons I just don't go on Twitter. You know? Twitter's terrible. A lot of people in our industry, they're so married to the game that they sit in front of their effing phones or a computer for hours and hours looking through that hellscape. And I'm like, yo, prioritize something else. Prioritize your cat, for God's sake.
Yeah, imagine like, yeah, of course Anthony Rendon's going to be like, yeah, I care about my family more than my job. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I get that he's a guy who like has his love of the game or whatever has been questioned, but it's like, I don't know. Ask the Washington Nationals if he loved the game enough when he won the World Series for them in 2019. like at a certain point, it's like he gets paid a ton of money. He signed a $250 million contract.
That's the other part of it too. It's like, well, it's not the biggest priority because I'm going to keep on making money as long as I play.
Yeah. It's like, well, I could do what I want. It's like the pros and cons list thing. It's like, I can do what I want and make way less money, or I can do this job that maybe I don't like as much, but make $38 million a year.
Tough living.
Yeah. Would you do a job you hate for $38 million every year?
I would do it for a lot less than that. I would do it for a lot less. Paulie can be bought. He can be bought easily. Anyway, it's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Oh, my gosh. The last segment. The last segment, potentially, of my solo career in Houston. Wow. We'll discuss. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.com. We keep getting away with it.
You can't keep getting away with it!
Welcome back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here is your ambiguously gay host, Paul Gallant.
Last chance to dance, as Gus Johnson would say, for the Paul Gallant Show solo project with Sean Mapes. I'm not going to make the announcement as far as what's next because I'm not sure what I's have been dotted, what T's have been crossed. I do want to say one more time, I'm incredibly bummed out for my friend Josh Beard, who I've known for a really long time, plus other guys that used to work for this station who are no longer a part of it, Michael Connor, who over the last couple of months I've really come to enjoy, to get along with, and Andrew Carlson, who I've also known for a very long time. Not the only people that are no longer a part of the station, and it's all budget reasons. And that's something I 100% believe. I know that a lot of fighting have been done to try and keep our lineup the way that it was. I felt like we were making some headway, but one of the things that you come to learn in life and you accept it as you get older and older is that you just don't have that much control over anything. Now, I will say that what bums me out the most about this industry is how many people get essentially phased out of it through no fault of their own. If someone works hard, you like to see them continue to have the ability to work hard. But I get how, you know, this country of ours works. Capitalism is capitalism. The bottom dollar is always going to be the loudest voice in the room. It just bums me out that it went down like this, and I'm just tired of seeing people that I'm close to in this industry like just leave. I mean, I got a long list of people that I've been co-hosts with who have been my producers that aren't doing it anymore. And I mean, I've been got a couple of times. I'm really thankful that I'm still working here at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. That will continue after the end of this show. I will be in another spot again. I'm not going to say everything that's going down, but I am bummed. And at the same time, I am excited. I know for some people that you've probably come to, if you've been sticking around for a really long time, my style, which is definitely weird, a little bit all over the place. I know I love working, not by myself, because Sean Mapes does an awesome job behind the glass. And Sean, I'm so thankful for the last, like, basically year and a half that we've had just the two of us hanging out. It's been so fun. This truly has been this solo side of things, but with you as my partner in crime, this has been the most fun I've ever had doing radio in this town. I'm not kidding on that front. And we're going to continue to do stuff together, but things will change a little bit. And I think for some people, you're going to really come to enjoy what's next. I think for some people, my ADD gets a little bit annoying. I have been told that by multiple people across the country while trying to get a job. Paul, why can't you stay on topic? Well, I think I'll have a little bit more luck on that front going forward. I'm very thankful to everybody who has listened to this show over the last couple of years since I've been in this time slot. And again, I will still be here at this station. I'm also thankful to all of our sponsors and everything like that. And yeah, guys, I'm going to Mexico for a couple of days. I'll see you on the other side. I'll still be at this station. We'll continue to put out fun sports content. And occasionally I'll get serious, you know. Occasional political hot takes. Tucker Carlson impersonation. All sorts of stuff like that. But in the meantime, I hope you guys have a wonderful rest of your Tuesday. I'm going to be completely off the grid in Mexico for like 5 days or so. And assuming I make it back, guys, it's been real. I've had a lot of fun doing this thing in this time slot. So long. Farewell. Big thanks to Sean Mapes behind the glass. You'll hear from me again when you hear from me again, but it'll be right here. Have yourselves an awesome day. Peace.
ESPN 97.5.com. Take his pork chop.
I don't want his pork chop. I want his life.